Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to the book of Hosea, chapter 2. Say of your brothers, my people, and of your sisters, my loved one. Rebuke your mother. Rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Otherwise, I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst. I will not show my love to her children because they are the children of adultery. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers but not catch them. She will look for them but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first. For then I was better off than now. She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Therefore, I will take away my grain when it ripens and my new wine when it is ready. I will take back my wool and my linen intended to cover her nakedness. So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands. I will stop all her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed feasts. I will ruin her vines and her fig trees, which she says were her pay from her lovers. I will make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them. I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards, and I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel, which is God scatters, or God plants, God sows. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again. though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idol. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Hosea was told by God to marry this immoral woman. He did so, and they had children, but they weren't necessarily Hosea's, especially the second and the third. And so they were named by God names that reflected what was going on with Israel. And that is, God said of Israel, you're not mine. I reject you. You've rejected me? Okay. I reject you. And God warned his people through the prophet Hosea, through this story, you cannot continue to reject me and follow after idols and expect everything to go on the way it has. And he describes a scenario where this unfaithful wife, instead of appreciating everything she's getting from being married to her husband, feels as if really the reason she's doing so well is because of her cheating on her husband. And so her husband says, guess what? I'm going to let you go. You don't want to be my wife? You don't want to be faithful to me? Get out. Now, what happens is she becomes impoverished and enslaved, which is exactly what God said he was going to do to Israel. They would become impoverished and enslaved. And that is exactly what happened. And in that context, some of his people would begin to respond to his wooing, because when she goes out into the desert, he makes her like a desert. He puts her in an arid place. She's dying of thirst. Guess who's there with her? God, speaking words of love, drawing her back, because, as he says here, say to the one who was called not loved, I love you. Say to the one who was called not my people, you're my people. In the midst of God's wrath, God shows love, redeeming love. If you want to know how seriously God takes sin, how grave a matter it is, look at Jesus Christ on the cross. As the wrath of God is poured out on him, he suffers beyond our ability to comprehend. He didn't just experience what the thief on either side of him experienced. He endured the wrath of the Father. It wasn't just a cruel execution devised by the Romans. It was God's wrath poured out. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. And he cries out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the one who was one with the Father. But even as he cries out that cry, he is quoting the psalmist, which shows us at least two things. Number one, the fact that this was exactly what God had decreed and ordained from the beginning. But secondly, if you go back and you read that psalm, it's a psalm of victory. It doesn't end, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It begins that way. And it goes on to celebrate the triumph of God and God's grace. Likewise, Hosea's story is a picture of God's wrath, God's fury against sin. And yet, in the midst of it, over and over, God is saying, I will draw you back. I love you. I want you to follow me. I want you to be mine. God promises redemption, and God accomplishes redemption.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand. But the waves are calling.
You and I need to understand that God has provided redemption for those who are in Christ Jesus, not for those who intellectually are willing to give assent to certain propositional truths. Yes, well, okay, so you're saying this, 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 and this. I can go along with that, sure, no problem. Jesus had people who came to him and said, you know, I'd like to be one of your disciples, but I've got these other things I need to do. Jesus said, make your choice. Jesus, I'm sincere. I really want to follow you, but first let me, Jesus said, make your choice. Right now. You see, there isn't anything else that compares. Nothing. And you can't have Jesus plus lovers. What are you going to do? Are you going to follow him in wholehearted obedience, or are you going to try and dance around and say, well, you know, Jesus, I just want to do this dance with this guy. I'm with you. I'll go home with you, but let me do this first. Where's your heart? Do you belong to Jesus? That's why we need to read the book of Hosea. Rebuke your mother. Is that a strange verse? Look at it. Chapter 2. Verse 2, you are to give honor to whom honor is due. You're to give respect to whom respect is due. And you're to show honor and respect toward people because of their position. But there are some times when you've got to say, that's not okay. That's not right. Now, please hear me, because this is going to be a challenging lesson for some of you especially. You are not your parents' parents. It is not your job to turn into their little miniature parent and police officer and try and straighten out everything in their life. Mom, you need to get up early in the morning. You need to start doing chores around here. You need to keep the house clean, and you ought to be cooking meals and concerned about my nutrition. Not your job. Well, there are some things about my mom that I don't think are the way they should be. Do I need to rebuke her for that? Not necessarily. But let's suppose that mom is beating the crud out of one of your siblings. I don't mean giving them a spanking. I mean abusing them. Should you simply sort of say, well, you know, I'm not going to say anything because she's the parent? Or is there a time when you need to say, stop it! That's wrong! You don't have a right to do that. Let me tell you, there are times when you need to call 911. Now again, I'm not talking about a spanking. I'm talking about abuse. It's not okay. What about when a parent, a mom or a dad, or an older brother, or an uncle, or a grandparent molests a child? Are you supposed to just say, well, you know, they're the grown-up? Or are you supposed to say, stop it! That is wrong! You're in trouble. There are times when you've got to stand up and rebuke those in authority. But you better be sure, that it's not just that you don't like 10 o'clock curfew. Stop it! You don't have a right to tell me that I've got to be back here at 10 o'clock. Oh, yes, they do. But I want you to understand what was going on here that was so hideously evil. And that is, these kids were to rebuke their mom for the fact that she was with somebody other than her husband. We live in a culture where that's just treated as normal. Well, people do that. Well, it's not okay. And if parents give their kids the impression that, well, that just happens sometimes. Mama's got to do what she's got to do to pay the rent. Wrong. Better to live under an overpass than to engage in sexual immorality. It is not okay. You need to understand that sex outside of marriage is sinful. It's sinful. And that is what this mom was being rebuked for. These kids were growing up learning that that's what moms do. And God in His Word says no, not okay. Not okay. But as God speaks about sexual immorality in the book of Hosea, He ties it over and over to spiritual unfaithfulness. And He says, the reason why there is so much sexual immorality in your culture is because your people are not true to Me, the Lord God. It's not just that when we engage in sexually immoral behavior, we are being untrue to God. It's we engage in sexually immoral behavior because we are not pursuing holiness in the Lord. That's how people get into trouble. We have slaughtered in this country millions and millions and millions of our children through abortion. That isn't just something for which we will bear the wrath of God. That is a manifestation of the wrath of God. God has displayed His wrath against our country, against this mammon-worshipping, idolatrous culture, by allowing our people to slaughter the next generation. The reason why we're in the mess we're in is because we don't obey the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is like unto it, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. You see, if you don't do that, you're going to do all kinds of mess. If you love God the way you should, you're going to love people the way you should. And when you do, you're not going to kill them. I mean, if I'm loving my neighbor, I'm not going to be okay with the idea that somebody else wants to take them and kill them. And we're living in a culture that is very divided on this issue. But I want you to understand something. There are times when you've got to speak a word of rebuke. There are times when you've got to say, no, it's not okay. God has spoken on this, and it's not okay. But please see that God sent Hosea, having rebuked his people and promised painful consequences for their sin, God sends Hosea to demonstrate his redeeming love. And Hosea goes, and it says in chapter 3, show your love to your wife again. How could this guy love her? He didn't marry her because he fell in love with her. He married her because God told him to. But in spite of it all, he actually loved her because he was a godly man. Go show your love to your wife again, though she's loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, even though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. This eating of raisin cakes had to do with a pagan ritual. It was part of the worship of idolatrous gods, false gods. It's all right to eat raisins and raisin cakes, just so you know, all right? But it's not okay to worship idols. And the people of Israel were worshiping idols, and part of that was eating raisin cakes. God says, you're to go and redeem her. Bring her back. Let her be your own. Love her, even though she's been unfaithful. And I want you to see, when he goes to redeem her, to buy her back, she's been reduced to the level of a slave. He buys her at a discount price because she's not even that highly valued anymore. Why would he want her? Two reasons. Number one, God said so. Number two, right there in the text, he loved her. Just as God loves us when we don't deserve it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't do it because we were cute. God didn't look down from heaven and say, oh, those people, I'm telling you, they just get in all kinds of trouble. But I think they're adorable. That's not at all what's going on in John 3:16. God saw us in our filth, dead in trespasses and sins, and he loved us still. He loved us, not because we were lovable, not because we were cute, not because we were appealing, not because we were pretty good, just needed a little help. He saw us in our deepest need, and he loved us. And he redeemed us. And let me tell you something. Jesus didn't pay a discount price. He paid a price that is beyond our ability to comprehend. And he did it because he loves us. And so, I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. And he said, you're to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man. And I will live with you. God says, Israel's going to turn back too. They're going to turn and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they'll come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. I believe we're seeing that. I believe that God is drawing Jewish people and those who are his from the Gentile nations in greater numbers than we've ever seen before. And it's because God is a God who saves. He's a God who redeems. He's a God who loves the unlovely. Not because he has bad taste, but because he has great grace. And those who know him need to rejoice because we have been loved and we have been bought when we were slaves, when we had been unfaithful, when we had turned to other gods. He came and rescued us, and he calls us to be his own. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's
pastorwood.org.